We're in Heavenly Places, page 361. The title is Life or Death. And it's, of course, December 20th if you actually have the book. I think it's a book. Right. It starts off with Romans 6:23 that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then Romans 3:23 that says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ gave his life to save the sinner from the death sentence. He died that we might live. By his death he brought salvation within the reach of all." Amen. And she goes on to say that the abundant evidence given by God that he desires the salvation of all will be the condemnation of those who refuse the gift of heaven. At the last great day, when all will be rewarded or punished, according to their obedience or disobedience, the cross of Calvary will appear plainly before those standing before the judge of all earth to receive sentence for eternity. You see, this is one of the saddest things when I think about this, because, and it's not just me thinking about the atheists or the Muslims or the Buddhists or even the homosexuals. It's just, it's all of them. It's especially the so-called Christians out there that thought that they were following Christ, but they didn't want to, they didn't want to carry the burden of their own cross. They didn't want to obey it. They didn't want to sacrifice anything. Because all this self-deception is going to be wiped away on that day, too. They're going to have perfect clarity as to what they did wrong. And they're going to know they made the conscious choice to do the wrong things. They're going to know that they became their worst enemies. They lied to themselves. And that's going to be a very scary day. And I can only think about my own personal loved ones, like my siblings, or even if some of my kids don't make it. None of us know for sure what's going on. We can have full assurance in our own lives, but we don't know what's going on in the lives of others. And so you really don't know. And it's a sobering thought. But she says, "They are made capable of comprehending something of the love of God has expressed for fallen human beings. They see how greatly he has been dishonored by those who have continued in transgression, choosing sides with Satan and showing contempt for the law of Jehovah." So it's more or less, I should have just kept reading, but, I have a tendency to do that. But she goes on, she says, "Today angels are sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, to help them to escape from the thraldom of Satan's power. Each human being is given the freedom of choice. It is his to decide whether he will stand under the black banner of rebellion or under the bloodstained banner of Prince Emmanuel. With deep solitude, heaven watches the conflict between good and evil. None but the obedient can enter the gates of the city of God." And this is something we've been trying to say for decades. And even when it comes to, understanding prophecy, we try to explain this as, look, if you want to understand, and it's not even prophecy only. I don't know how many, because I remember when I was a young Christian, I had the same mindset, too, because I don't know how many people come up to me and say, I just can't understand the Bible. Babes in Christ, it's understandable. You're just now meeting Christ. Let's say you're a babe now, and you're just meeting Christ. He's going to slowly but surely start opening up the Word to you, but he's not going to give it to you all. In other words, you're not going to be a CEO on the first day when you go to get a job, so you're not going to be a theologian on the first day you open up the Bible. He's going to test you. He's going to see if you really want this truth. Like it says in Psalms and in Proverbs about clamoring after that wisdom and loving it. Do you really, really, really want to understand, what he wants you to do, or what he's planning to do, or what he has done, or what he is doing? Do you really want to know him? And so slowly but surely he starts opening up the Word to you, and you will eventually, you'll just discover how beautiful he is. It's just amazing how he makes himself so known to you just from the Bible alone. It's the most amazing book that was ever written. That's why it's still, the number one selling book in all the bookstores, even though they won't admit it anymore. Now when you see the top 10 list in all the bookstores, it's actually the top 11 list. They just erased the Bible. And they've admitted that, too, years ago, about 10 years ago. Some people asked them how to. One day it was the top 10, it was number one, and the next day it's not even on the list. Somebody admitted it, that it was embarrassing to have the Bible up there. because of all the other disgusting books that made it to number 2, 3, 4, 5, and down the line. Because those other books were just glorifying Satan. And but at the same time, the Bible was showing that people still want the truth. And so the Lord, you know, he'll open it up to you eventually, yeah, but the obedience is a big factor here. You're not going to understand the scriptures, and you're certainly not going to understand prophecy, and especially prophetic events that are happening now, unless you're obedient. And you can't be obedient just on Thursday, or just on Sabbath, or just on Tuesday 3 weeks from now. You got to be obedient every day, every minute of the day, to the best of your ability. And yeah, you're going to mess up. We all mess up. I sin, you sin, we all sin, right? And so 1 John 1:9 is pretty clear. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because we confess and repent them. Or we repent and confess. You know, that's actually the better order. But yeah, he's the true definition of the word father. Like if you had the most loving father on the planet and you did something wrong, and you came up to your dad and you said, "Dad, I messed up. I did this, and I know it was wrong to do, and it was really, really bad. And I'll never do it again because now I've been beating myself up forever, and I knew I had to come to you and tell you about it." And your dad comes and punches you upside the head and kills you? No. Your dad says, "It's okay. You know, it's good that you confessed. It's good that you repented of that. You're not going to do it again. Amen. I still love you. I love you." And then he hugs you and kisses you on the neck, just like the prodigal son when his, you know, when the father ran towards him. Well, our father loves us infinitely more than the most loving dad on earth can ever love you. And so don't think for a split second when the enemy of souls comes up to you and say you didn't repent properly, or you didn't, you can only repent to the best of your own ability. You can only say you're sorry to the Father the only way you know how. So don't let it get to you. Don't keep on repeating the same, you know, confession. You know, I mean, and we all do it, you know. I don't know how many times that I'll apologize. I mean, I'll only confess the sin once and, you know, and repent of it, of course, but there's times I might apologize, you know, like when I go into prayer later on in that day or later in the evening or even the next day. I says, you know, I know I confessed it already, Father, and I know you've already forgiven me about it, but I really got to apologize for letting you down and being an idiot, being a bonehead, and just doing that stupid thing or saying that stupid thing or thinking that stupid thought or whatever the case may be. And he's going to forgive you 100%. 1 John 1:9 wouldn't have been written otherwise. She goes on to say, upon those who choose to continue in transgression to death. Okay, there's a comma missing here. Okay, so upon those who choose to continue in transgression, comma, the death sentence must at last be pronounced. The earth will be purified from their misgoings or doings, their defiance of God. See, now this is one of the reasons a lot of people don't like the compilations, and this is one of the reasons I don't like them either. Is whoever compiled these comments from Sister White either don't understand grammar sometimes or purposely leave stuff out or just don't realize that, hey, let at least the thought finish before you start putting the three dots at the end of it there. Hey, you know, because this makes no sense. They're defiance of God. I know. You could say, well, the earth will be purified from the misdoings. They're defiance of God. But you could, it begs for explanation. You could see that she wasn't done talking about it here. As a matter of fact, just for giggles, I'm going to go into the yellow and white CD here. I'm going to put this in the query just to see where it brings me. Two places. Okay, that one's already got it taken out. That's in heavenly places. Okay, that's the way she said it then, I guess. But it goes on from there, and it says, "Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be." And so it goes on. So that they left that out, and then they go all the way. Wow, they left a lot out. There's like 1, 2, 3 huge paragraphs. And then it goes to God's law is the transcript. Okay, so anyway, she goes on. She says, "God's law is the transcript of His character, and those only who obey this law will be accepted by Him. Every departure from obedience to the law of God is rebellion." It's just like in any city on earth, for example. You walk into a city, you break the ordinances, you're either going to get jailed or they kick you out of the city. Or you step into some country and you do something wrong, they're going to deport you. You know, well, especially like, say, 50 or 100 years ago, they would deport you. Nowadays, they'll probably put you in jail because they can make money off you in the U.S. anyway, but you know where I'm getting at here. The fact of the matter is, if you're rebelling, if you're constantly on the side of not wanting to keep the laws of God, then you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Because that law of God is the law of that land. You break the laws in this land, America, you go to jail. You break the laws in his land, New Jerusalem, you go to hell. There is no jail. There is just either you're going to be alive or you are dead. There's no gray areas. You know, you had your chance for repentance. You had your chance to get right. It's called life on earth before he gets here. So, anyway, she goes on to say that it is for the highest interest of man to obey the law of God, for conformity to the principles of the law, of this law, is essential to the formation of a righteous character. The rules of life that the Lord has given will make men pure and happy and holy. Those only who obey these rules can hear from the lips of Christ the words, come up higher. And Brother Daniel sent me an email earlier today that was, and I stuck it in my SOP BAM folder, you know, like Whoppers, like where you can't get around the facts being laid out here. But let me see if I can find it here. I got so much stuff in my email, stuff that I'm going through now with all this attacks. Okay. Where it be? Maybe it's in the 11th hour. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Daniel didn't send it. It was Jim. Brother Jim sent it. I don't know if he's in here tonight. I think he is. But and this is from manuscript releases from back in 1891. And then it's a 13:82. I don't know. Now, check this out. You know, and Fran and I, you know, well, she brought this up a couple times because of my character flaws over the years. And just by looking at certain people that we love that have gone to the grave and thinking about, but they went there in extreme old age, and we saw things that was like, kind of like what King David was looking at when he was walking around and noticing all the old men and how angry they were and how they just, their anger just grew as they got older and they didn't get any better. And, you know, they weren't heaven bound. But check out what Sister White says here. She says, if you would be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. See, this is where Catholic theology likes to throw the wrench and, you know, into the works and try to mess everything up, because Catholic Church says the only way that you can be a saint is if you're dead. That's a bold-faced lie. If it's true, then why is Paul always addressing the saints when he's writing letters to the Corinthians or to the Romans or whoever? Why is he addressing the saints in that way? Is he writing letters to corpses? I mean, you know, no, of course not. But anyway, she goes on. She says, the traits of character you cherish in life will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. Jesus does not change the character at his coming. The work of transformation must be done now. Our daily lives are determining our destiny. Defects of character must be repented of and overcome through the grace of Christ, and a symmetrical character must be formed while in this probationary state, that we may be fitted for the mansions above. And I got to tell you, this is, and I praise his name for this because of the way the Holy Spirit works with his people, because I really had an anger problem for many, many years, and I liked the way he chips away at it, and to the point where I got to the point where I would still get angry at people and when they would say things, but I would just hold it in. I didn't even want that. I don't even want that. I don't even want to get angry at them and act like I'm not angry. I don't even want that angry spirit in me. You know, I don't want it there at all. And I love the way the Holy Spirit just chips away at it, you know. And so, and there's other areas that we can all, you know, work on and stuff like that. And like stuff like gossip, I never liked that. I mean, especially, well, I always used to do a lot of clerical work I worked at offices, and the secretaries and stuff like that do the clerical, but that's where all the, you know, and the secretaries weren't only women, don't get me wrong, guys were doing this gossip too. And I always thought it was just so childish. I thought, you know, it never made sense to me because I saw how it grew when I was a kid. You know, some old man kisses a little girl, or he pets a little girl on the head, or gives her a little kiss on the side of the cheek. And he's walking down the road, and by the time he gets to Mabel at the other end of the block, the guy's going to get 10 years in prison for molesting the kid. You know, and they just embellish it over and over again. And I've seen this happen when I was growing up, and I saw it happen in school. I saw it happen in life, in all the offices that I worked in, too. And so that's another area where a lot of people need to work on. You know, they have a tendency to gossip. And I always look at gossip as the name of Satan's telephone company because of the way it just travels. It's like that little bird that goes from place to place. You know, he's the power and principalities of the air. I mean, the Bible even talks about that little bird. You know, and then anybody that's been possessed, you know about the little bird, okay? Especially if you have a good recollection of how it goes down. So, okay, let me, I think that's it, yeah. So anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.